What do you do when you've tried vegetarianism, you've tried veganism, and none of those things really work for your health? Well, you go paleo. Well, at least that's what Taylor Collins did. Taylor is both a competitive runner and triathlete with many top podium finishes, and he's also one of the founders behind the awesome Epic Bars. Let's join him and Alan in the studio now and find out what makes him tick.
Hello, Taylor, and thank you for coming on the Low Carb Paleo Show.
Yeah, happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure, especially since I've been a big fan of your products for a long time. You and I met at the Paleo FX 2014 in Austin, but I knew your products from already at least about 6 months earlier when I used to work at People's Pharmacy. And from the get-go, I love your products. So I'm excited to talk to the man behind the Epic World. So can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Before I got into the food business, I was a physical therapist and I was practicing in an outpatient orthopedic setting. And my business partner, Katie, and I have been dating for 9 years, a really long time. And she was actually in graduate school, you know, working towards becoming a licensed counselor, like a psychologist. And we both were obsessed with riding bikes and running and doing races. And so it was just this kind of life, you know, all these different variables that were affecting where I am now. But, you know, a lot had to do with being involved in health, nutrition, working with sick people, and then also just the personal passion for, you know, health and wellness and exercise and sports on my own.
From that background, how did you come up with the idea of Epic Bars?
The Epic Bar idea kind of started around a campfire, as most good ideas tend to start. But Katie and I, you know, we went on a 100-mile bike ride, and it was in the middle of the Texas summer, super hot, and we were just honestly sick and tired of eating sugary sweet products. And so, you know, that particular bike ride, something kind of clicked in my head, and we made 2 pounds of bacon before the ride, and we put it in a little Ziploc bag and we carried it along, and it was incredible. I mean, that was the only thing we ate the entire day, and it was so refreshing. It just felt so right to put it in our bodies, like this salty, fatty snack. And it was something that no cyclist had really ever thought to do. I mean, everyone was looking at us pretty strange and thought we were totally weirdos, but it was one of the like most glorious breakthrough bike rides of my life. And so afterwards we thought, man, we gotta make some kind of portable meat snack that carries well and has the same effect. So that was kind of the idea, the inspiration behind the bars. That was the aha moment.
That's great. You're quite young, actually. I'm impressed. Do you have any background in the food business?
Yes, Katie and I have been in, you know, the food business kind of as a hobby, oddly to say, for 3 years. But we had our first food company was called Thunderbird Energetica. And it was honestly her and I making these plant-based whole food bars for 2 years. And we were having fun doing it. We really had no intention to bring it to market. We just, you know, we're being creative and doing innovative, what we felt was innovative ingredient combinations and concepts behind the bars and development and branding. And it was really just a hobby and a passion. And, you know, a month into that company, Whole Foods asked us to launch throughout the Southwest region. So that was a big, big kind of step that changed it from a hobby to actually a career. Right. And we had done that for a year until we started Epic. But we had always wanted to do this Epic concept, this meat bar, but the timing just wasn't quite right, you know, when we started, and we had to figure out how to do it.
Impressive. And that was right around the time the whole paleo concept started to heat up, right?
Yeah, I mean, timing was pretty surprisingly great. And, you know, we love this idea, and we always wanted it to be more of like a whole food bar, like a meat bar that was whole food, low carb, moderate fat, high protein. And it just really, the timing was unbelievable. The paleo movement grew, and people were becoming more receptive to the idea of eating high quality meat and not so afraid of fats. And so, it was just perfect timing.
Right. Speaking of low carb, would you think your product qualifies as a low carb product?
I think for a conveniently packaged bar, energy bar, protein bar, food bar, absolutely. our bars have 9 to 10 grams of carbs. And so when Katie and I started developing the bars, we actually experimented with a ketogenic diet for 2 months. And we were, you know, eating the bars once or twice a day and still, you know, measuring our blood ketones, and we were still able to be in ketosis. And so, yeah, it works for me.
Excellent. Yeah, that's great. That speaks to Mark's side of the business. He's the low-carb guy.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name Epic? I mean, I've seen on the website you play a lot on the Epic word game.
Yeah. The story behind the name was, you know, Katie and I were camping in West Texas, which is like our favorite place in the world. The Big Bend country is amazing, very inspiring. And we had been on this week-long adventure, tons of biking, tons of hiking, pushing our bodies super hard, and we were completely exhausted, sitting around a campfire, and we were kind of talking about that bacon day on the bike and what this product that we envisioned, it didn't exist, and we were trying to say, okay, what if we put this in it? What if we put that in it? And then ultimately, you know, we kind of came up with these wild concepts. And Katie was just by the campfire and just said, you know, that would be epic if we could figure that out. And so that was kind of the basis for the name, and it's stuck since then.
Great. So you pretty much have two successful line of product. Did you give up the previous one, or are you still working on that?
We've honestly shifted, you know, as our personal diets have shifted more from like the plant-based whole food side of things to more kind of paleo, low carb, high fat diets. We're not as excited and passionate about the first line that we created, the Thunderbird line. And so, you know, we've actually put about 95% of our efforts now into Epic, and Thunderbird has its own production crew and a team behind it that's continuing to grow that organically. And it has its place in the world, but, you know, we're more excited about what we're doing with Epic right now. So we're definitely driving that.
So tell us about your line of product. I know my favorite, but tell us about the whole line.
The most popular bar is the Bison Bacon Cranberry Bar. And it's a grass-fed bison from Colorado. And then the pork that we put in, it comes from Texas. It comes from our friends over at Peterson's Natural Farms. And then we add cranberries to it, and it's pretty simple. It's a really delicious bar. It has a really great mouthfeel. My personal favorite bar is the Beef Habanero Cherry Bar, and it's the meatiest bar. It's an organic grass-fed beef, and it has walnuts and cherries and then salt and pepper. So it's a meat bar at its essence. It's not spiced up with any, you know, seasoning blends, but it's just very meaty. And we're actually in the process of redoing that bar, improving it. And so I'm really excited. It's going to launch next month, but we actually kind of changed some of the different beef cuts we were using, and it's a lot fattier now. And it's going to be awesome. Yeah, just wait. It's going to probably be even more popular than the bison bar, I think.
There's one problem with it, though. You're talking about it, and I'm hungry.
Yeah. Well, I already know. I already know which one of your lineup will be Mark's favorite.
Which you is that? Guess?
Oh yeah, I was gonna say mutton, because that's something Mark would understand. Mutton.
Yeah.
Mutton.
Yeah. Lamb. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, lamb is Katie and my favorite animal protein right now. We eat it as often as we can, and I think it's super underrated, and it's really accessible to get grass-fed high-quality lamb. So, you know, we developed this lamb bar, and we had to launch three bars to begin with, and the lamb bar didn't make the cut, even though that was Katie and I's favorite one. But we just were kind of worried that people would think, oh, mutton, this is weird, you know, and like they wouldn't be excited by it.
Why didn't it make the cut?
Even though the lamb was Katie and I's favorite to begin with, we did some product sampling with friends, and it was kind of a focus group, I guess you could say. And you know, we just found out that people either loved or hated lamb, and it didn't have to do with the bar, but it was almost a preconception of what lamb was, and especially older people, I don't know, maybe you could say like our parents, my parents' generation, they associated it with mutton, and they didn't have positive associations with that. And so even though we felt like we created this delicious product that was nutritionally sound and really complex, I still feel like it's our most complex flavor-forward bar. Like you could drink red wine with it if you wanted to.
But the thing with mutton is the older version of lamb. Lamb has a much sweeter, less gamey flavor to it, right?
Correct. Yep. And so we do use lamb. The other hard part to make a lamb bar, just from a product development standpoint, was we had to find a lamb image to put on the package. And lamb are so stinking cute. We just didn't know. We just didn't know if it was possible because who wants to look at this like really cute little creature and be like, I'm going to eat this lamb.
Yeah. No, you did a great job on the packaging. As a matter of fact, your graphics are fantastic. You made it look like an older lamb instead of a cuter one. Cute and young one. So that people didn't feel bad about eating poor little lamb. That's a very American concept, you know. Anything cute like rabbits or lamb, we should not eat, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, but we do. We get really excited about our packaging and our design because it's really neat to see, finally when you're in a grocery store and you see a product of an animal sitting on the shelf, and it's not an anime like a goofy cartoon, kooky mascot animal. It's an actual. Right. Anatomical drawing of an animal. And so I think it really helps people make that connection to what we are selling. Right, and it does put people in a little bit of an uncomfortable position, but we like that.
No, your kudos to your graphic artist. He or she did a great job. So I was very impressed with the packaging from the beginning. And can you tell us about the last one on your lineup?
Yes. So then we have the Turkey Almond Cranberry Bar. And it's turkey that comes from California right now. And we put almonds and cranberries in it, and then we season it with like a tandoori spice blend. And so it's really good. It's our lowest fat bar, highest protein bar. Just the nature of the turkey meat is a little bit different than the other animals. But it tends to be a little bit more popular with the female audience. And then athletes tend to like that one a lot as well.
Okay. So do the turkey, they have to walk all the way from California, or do they fly?
I don't know how they get.
You don't know?
You don't want to know.
They hitchhike.
you should ask them. I know there's. You're very proud of your source of ingredient. Can you expand on that?
Sure. So whenever we source a ruminant, we're going to source it grass-fed. And for us, grass-fed is a little bit more important than organic if we have to choose between one or the other. And so we spend a lot of time doing that. There's a system out there that's created by Whole Foods called the Global Animal Partnership, and where they kind of numerically, objectively rate the quality of the animals and how they're raised. And that's something that a third party assigns, so you can't just make claims that aren't backed because there's actually auditors visiting the facilities. So all of our animal protein sources are approved through that system. And then one of my favorite things that Katie and I get to do is we get to go out to the ranches and we get to hang out and we get to, bother the ranchers, see the animals, just stop by anytime we want, which is really fun. But we definitely get to see the claims we make put into practice, and it's really rewarding.
I'm very impressed with that. As a chef, I tend to pay attention to those issues as well. It's not just... I wouldn't want to eat your bar if it was coming from a regular feedlot and all that kind of...
Yeah, definitely. And it's just another differentiator because Epic is such a innovative, unique product. We want it to really be authentic all the way through. So, we didn't want to source low-quality animal proteins because you can get that already at the grocery store, like with jerky or canned food, but... We wanted to really take it up a level, and grass finish is the way to do that.
I like your background music. You have a little bird in your background making some singing.
Those dang tropical birds.
I know.
Happy to be alive.
Can you tell us your bar's benefits compared to other protein bars?
Sure. For us, we've always been kind of more focused on the ingredient label And so really, you know, that's what we're most proud of. When we encourage people to buy products, we say, you know, don't look at the macronutrients first. I would go to the ingredients. And so that's, you know, for me, what I'm most proud of when it's compared to other products. But, you know, the other benefits are, you know, our bars have a little bit more fat than most bars, and they're healthy animal-based fats. And so they really do tend to keep you fuller longer. And that's really, really nice when you're actually snacking. You know, hopefully you don't have to snack all day long, but when you're traveling on an airplane, or you're riding your bike 100 miles, or you're hiking, I mean, it's really hard to get high quality animal protein in your body, and to do it without tons of syrups and added sugars and things that are going to spike your insulin. And so it's really great, because it's a snack, and it's a snack that's our bodies know how to process. I mean, animal protein, we've evolved eating that. And so we can digest it very well. And it just works super well with our bodies. And that's what I think is the best thing about it.
Right. What I love about it is the fact that when you're biting into it, it's a real bite. It's a meat bite. And you have just a hint of sweetness in there, but not this candy bar kind of sweetness. And just you know, the nuts and like, for example, my favorite is the bison cranberry. I love the cranberry, you know, little acidic background to it. So
yeah,
it adds a whole different layer of flavor to it. So I really appreciate that. So you're really biting into pure protein, basically, which is, in my opinion, the selling point. So
yeah, and most, I mean, believe it or not, people think it's a little bit strange, and I get that it's a new concept and people are resistant to innovation, but you know, we think it's so weird that people do eat those sugar filled products without questioning things, and they eat products with, you know, protein sources that have been derived from, you know, like gasoline and derivatives that are so unnatural, and they have to be counterbalanced with a syrup or a sugar. And it's just so weird that people think that's normal and they don't question that. But when it is that meaty, animal, smoky bite, it's right. Weird.
Well, so, you know, I mean, you're basically eating a piece of beef, whether it's a steak or whether it's in the form of a bar, it's basically the same thing, right?
Correct.
I mean, similar. I mean, as far as the thinking goes. I mean, if I was vegetarian, obviously I would go to, you know, maybe a soy protein or hemp protein type of bar. But as a paleo meat eater, then I don't have any issue with eating your bars at all.
And we're trying to make it a little bit more mainstream. I mean, on our products, we don't label paleo anything because we don't want to isolate people or scare people. We just want people to give it an honest try without any prejudgment. And we want it to be a timeless product, because I think the paleo movement is so strong right now. I don't know what it's going to be like in 10 years. I think it's going to, if it's still called paleo, that's great. But if it lives on, or if it evolves into something else, as long as that underlying whole food principle with, you know, low carb, moderate, high fats, good protein sources, then I think our bars will live on.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Because you never know how these, I mean, for we know this, paleo could be a fad and it would be gone in a few years. So yeah, it's very smart of you to think that way. Can you tell us what gets you most excited about the future of Epic Bars?
Yeah, what gets me most excited is, I mean, the next kind of generation of what we're doing is more than the food bar, because everyone understands the health benefits associated with grass-fed animal protein, and people are pretty familiar with the higher humane animal standards that go into those practices, but people don't really talk about the environmental impact and the benefits of holistically managed livestock. And so we're partnering with an institute called the Savory Institute, and they're a nonprofit that are focused on restoring the grasslands of the world. And their mission is really by preaching and teaching holistically managed livestock practices that you can create a net positive return for the environment. And so, you know, here at Epic, we're actually working on starting to kind of vertically integrate, and we're actually starting to look at some abused land in Texas And we're looking at properties where people are deeming it unsalvageable, unworthy, just beat up. Maybe it had minerals extracted and no one wants it anymore. And our mission is to put livestock on it. So I think we're going to start with bison, and we're actually going to bring that land back to life, create a really nice biosystem with great diversity, improve the soil health. And we're only going to do that through responsibly managed livestock and document the process.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we really want to preach and want people to understand and encourage people to practice that way when raising animals.
That sounds a very, very good idea. I'd be curious to see some of that going on when you get around to it. Do bison? Oh yes, actually, there is a bison farm around Texas, right? Not too far from Austin.
There's a bison ranch in outside of San Antonio called Thunderheart.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. I was wondering if bison, you know, could grow well in Texas heat, but I guess that proves, you know, as long as they have plenty of water, right?
Yeah, they can do well as long as they have water and pasture. Right. That Thunderheart had to do a big kill off about 2 or 3 years ago due to the drought. They had to get rid of about half their herd, and it was just because of water and drought. So it was real sad. Right.
Well, we are going through in Texas. We're going through historical drought. Is that a concern in the long term that maybe it can affect, you know, farmers, ranches, and everything?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially when you're sourcing like a grass-fed, grass-finished animal, because, you know, for bison, for example, there's about 3,500 head of bison slaughtered a month in the United States, and only 2% of that is grass-finished, and so. Yeah, if that drought continues, it's, you know, ranchers start converting, they start supplementing, and then we run out of protein sources. So we're definitely already seeing that happening with the bison. We're actually having to kind of get creative on moving forward because there are no more grass-fed bison in America that we can source. And so that's kind of one of the ideas for us starting to raise our own is to supplement and get a little bit more added to the supply chain. But it's already happening. So we do have to consider that.
Now, my understanding is typically bison tend to be more prevalent in the northern climates. There's no source up there, up north, you know, grass-fed bison?
It's crazy. The majority of the bison herd in North America is owned by one guy. And he does raise it up north, but he just, his food philosophy, he just supplements their diets with grain, and so he controls, you know, I think something like 85% of all the bison, and so that supply chain just isn't convertible. He just won't have it any other way. But you're right. I mean, they thrive definitely in the Dakotas, Montana, Colorado. They're all over the place.
Right. Well, for people listening out there, ranchers, time to give some competition to this guy, right?
We will pay premium prices.
Going back a bit to when you were doing sort of Thunderbird Energetica, do I take it, as you said, you were very much into the natural plant-based foods, that you were verging on vegetarianism?
Correct. My partner and I were going in and out of vegetarian diets, vegan diets, even raw food diets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of a, my partner had an inflammatory issue, like a chronic inflammatory issue of her knee, and it was preventing her from competing in high level activities and sports. And so we were, you know, trying to, I guess the common reaction was, let's modify our diets and let's eat clean.
Yeah.
And we thought eating clean was getting away from meat. Mm-hmm. And boy, were we wrong. But she was just, it made her sick chronically for 8 months. And then finally, we went the complete opposite direction, and it was life-changing overnight. So,
how did you decide to switch over? How did that happen? Because that's a big reversal, right?
It was a huge reversal. We went to a naturopath, and she kind of suggested getting our blood type tested, and so we also read, What was the book about blood type testing and diets?
I know what you're talking about.
Eat Right for Your Blood Type.
Correct.
That's it.
Perfect.
That's it.
Yep. So we read Eat Right for Your Blood Type, and we were encouraged to do that. And so we read it before we had our blood tested, and it was pretty amazing. It talks about, you know, personality characteristics and traits, and even physical traits and your likes and dislikes, and what kind of foods you tend to be attracted to. And we both, you know, read it, and we said, I think we're O positives. And so we had our blood tested, and we were O positives, but we had committed whenever we did test that no matter what happened, we were going to eat by that diet. And it just happened to be that the O positive diet's kind of the original diet. And so it was very heavy on meat, leafy greens, no grains, no dairy, high fat foods. And it was scary, but we went into it. And, you know, Katie was sick for 8 months where she couldn't ride her bike because she had terrible stomach pain and this chronic knee injury. And honestly, within 2 days, everything went away. And, you know, at that point in time, I think we were raw vegans. It sucked, but I'm glad that we arrived where we were.
I think what's impressive is the fact that you actually put your health before an ideal.
Correct. Yeah. It was pretty cool of her to be open-minded enough to, I was really just supporting her, but I'm glad that she gave it a shot and went for it.
It's quite impressive because typically vegetarian and vegan are very set in their ways, and they are, you know, for some of them are very good reasons. Maybe they don't want to kill animals or other issues like that. But I found when I had discussion with vegans, especially vegans, not so much with vegetarian, that they're very, very adamant about following their diet. And not switching, so it's impressive. So, and then the results from Katie's point of view, how did she fare after that?
It was life-changing. I mean, she never questioned it ever, and she loves what she eats now and definitely preaches the benefits of, you know, whole food, animal-based products and diets, you know, lower in carbohydrates. So she's a believer.
Her health and her knee is back to normal?
Yeah, I mean, her health is back to normal, and the diet itself, it just took her performance and her athletics to another level. I mean, she's very competitive, very high-level endurance athlete, and when she converted her diet, it was like cheating. I mean, she got this ergogenic performance-enhancing effect that, you know, she was just crushing everyone else, and so it's just amazing what's happened. And I think her body's still evolving. She's still learning. She's getting better at burning fat and using that as a fuel source. And so I think the next couple of years, it's going to be just a continuous improvement in health and performance.
Coming back to yourself, what's been the greatest effect of going on the paleo diet for you?
Where to take it? I mean, there's so many things, but I guess
if you could pick one
thing. Yeah, to step away from the athletic side and kind of go to, you know, a business and lifestyle side. I mean, since we started converting to more of a paleo diet, it was really more the sustained energy and the mental focus from really increasing the amount of fats. And, I mean, it's just really helped me in meetings, just being more adaptive, more responsive, more creative, and even just, you know, sleep, feeling more rested. And a lot of that, you know, is focused around food and what I put in my body. And I definitely notice if I get a little bit off track, how it makes me feel. And it always encourages me to get back on track immediately because I definitely feel the effects mentally.
And so with all the things that you've learned over the last few years of eating paleo and eating properly for you, knowing what you know now, if you could go back 2 years or however long it is, what would you tell yourself who was just starting to do differently, if anything?
I think starting out, I would have told myself to make things fattier, believe it or not. Because, you know, switching over to paleo was a big step, and it definitely changed my diet. But I think I tended to want to go higher protein, and I still found myself hungry. I still found myself having a lot of cravings. But I would have told myself, hey, back in the day, you know, just cover whatever you're eating in coconut oil or avocados or grease or some kind of animal fat. I mean, that's going to make you the happiest.
I still go to my previous job and recuperate bacon drippings, and that's what I cook with.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like my grandmother used to, you know, we used bacon fat.
Yeah, like
we used a lot. We used to, I mean, in the old days, we used a lot for cooking. You know, even for making pies and pie crust and all of that. Lard was the only kind of fat they had access to. I mean, butter was too expensive. That was for the rich people.
Definitely. And it's funny, I don't know if this is true, but I guess you're kind of speaking to it, but I've always heard that, you know, like the French bakers are the highest regarded, you know, like best bakers in the world. And yeah, like they bake with lard versus butter, and I mean, it's just like the next level of that outcome and putting what you put into the product, what it creates. And so, you know, definitely been trying to do more of that myself.
Obviously, people are going to want to know more about you and your Epic Bars. I like that name, actually. Where's the best place for them to get hold of it?
Locally, there's, you know, we're growing really quickly. So if you live in a densely populated city, there's a chance there's going to be a couple stores in your town that carry them all over the country. So you can go to our website and go to the find page and type in your zip code and it'll pull up everything. And if you live out in the country all by yourself, maybe with some cows or some bison, you can order it anytime through Amazon or through our website and it gets there real quick.
And what about you? Do you do any type of lecturing or speaking or that sort of thing?
I've been getting more involved in kind of the sports side of things. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing a couple panels about nutrition and fueling athletics. And it's always fun because I'm getting up on panels and boards with people who are talking who, I mean, it's crazy. Like you feel like you're 30 years back in time and there are people talking about sugar and gels and goos and carb loading. And I'm always the oddball, the antagonist. But yeah, I've been doing that a lot. And so I'm going to continue to do that over the next couple of years.
And if people want to get hold of you for that, they can do so again through the website?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Excellent.
And your website address is?
Is epicbar.com.
Thank you very much again, Taylor, for being on the show and talk about your Epic Bars. I can't wait for my sample to arrive and munch on some of them. And I know you're already very successful, so there's not a lot more I can wish for you, but I wish you greater success and have a continued good time in Hawaii, and say hello to Kathy for us, and thank you very much again.
Thanks for having me, guys. I had a good time.